this is the fifth canto. The residents of Jambudeep offer prayers. So there's many different prayers from different devotees that worship different avatars in Jambudeep. So this one is Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya would read Srimad Bhagavatam daily with Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar was expert at reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. They would especially read about Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. Those are their favorite sections. Which is interesting because Gadadhar is Radha and Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but they like to hear about Prahlad and Dhruva, so that should teach us something. Lord Chaitanya, everything he did was for teaching. Some people think you have to only talk about Radha and Krishna, otherwise you'll end up in Vaikuntha or some undesirable place. But actually, in order to get to Radha and Krishna, you have to go through the Sankirtan. I was in the airport in Bombay, like somewhere, like Delhi, I think. Prabhupada said that all the time. He said he had one problem, he couldn't think small. So, the Bible says that a man thinketh, so he will be it. And we say, thinking, feeling, and willing, same thing. That you think about something first, and then you decide to do it, and then you do it. So that, of course, sometimes in the material world, it won't happen, because it's going to have a time or something. But for spiritual advancement, it will always happen. Whatever endeavor we make, it will work, because it has nothing to do with karma. Completely who you are, you know, faith and surrender and desire depend on Krishna. So this is a prayer that many devotees know from Prahlad to Lord Nityananda. And it's teaching us how to please the Prahlad is teaching us. There's many prayers in the seventh canto also, but he's got this very mood. In fact, he didn't want to be the king of the demons. All, he didn't want to be any kind of king, he just wanted to, you know, remember Krishna. But he took that position as the king so that he thought that he could, that way he could make all the demons into the world. Because if you're the government, then you can, right, you can dictate the educational system and the media and everything. So then you can have Krishna. We still have a few of that too. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Narasimhaya.
Narasimhaya.
Namaste Jas.
Namaste
Jas. Kabir Baba. Rajanaka. Rajadangska. Karmasaya. Randaya Randaya. Namo Grasa Grasa. Om Swaha. Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Yishtam Om Charam. You know it already. The Lord says, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Nisringadev, the source of all power. And he possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts. Vraja, Vajra, Naka, and Vajra Damsa. Vajra is a thunderbolt, lightning. So the fingernails and teeth are like that. And kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in the material world. Do they know what fruitive means? You should know because it comes up quite often. It's not a common word in modern English. It is in the Honorable Dictionary, not in a small dictionary. But it means, it just means with an intention to enjoy. Food activity means I'm going to get some, what I will get out of it. I'll get the food. Right? We still say that when it comes to fruition. Saying that these desires for fruitive activity are demonic, demon. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence. Because in the material world it's always a struggle just to stay alive. We're all struggling at the word. Everything is a struggle, actually. But to try to make it, you know, somehow enjoyable. They build these huge shopping centers, and they're exactly like even Lord Chaitanya said in that Bhaktivinoda wrote that prayer. But you spend your days decorating your bodies. That you can imagine. That was, you know, I mean, people were always doing that, but now it's just like such a huge business. Decorating the body, they have so many magazines. And I see in Japan the young girls are studying this magazine. It's big, boys and girls also. Trying to decide like what clothes they should wear, and how they should look, how they're going to do their hair, and what's the cosmetics, you know, jewelry. I walked through that little India yesterday, and I was thinking all that jewelry, you know, it should be for Krishna, right? The gold. But we can't put gold in. We never put gold on the jewelry for the Jesus. But all these mundane people are getting in the for what purpose? You know? Generally to attract somebody. Or to just show off that they're rich. But look how much of it used to be, like, even in South America, when the white man first went there, Spaniard, there was so much gold. They put hundreds and tens of thousands of gold. But well, the gold was only in the temples, whatever the temples were. Beautiful gold, carving. Nobody had gold for themselves. Only the gods. Even the primitive, even it wasn't exactly supreme. But now, God doesn't have so much. People have so much. So he's asking the Lord to vanquish these demon-like desires, which is the material desires. I want to enjoy. But this is the real prayer for the material. Not kill my enemies and make my life enjoyable. Like most people pray. Oh God, kill all my enemies and, you know, let me enjoy without any anxiety. Let everything be nice. Let everybody love me. I want every enemy and all that. Lots of credit cards, so whatever I need, I can get it. This is how the Maya is arranging for everybody. So there's a nice purport. Sanat Kumar said to Maharaj Kirti, Yapa de Pankitra Pralasha Vilasa Bhaktya Karma Sayam Ratitam Udvitayan Tisanta Tadvan Narisha Machayashoya Udo. Devotees always engage in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet. Can very easily become free from the hard knotted desires for fruitive activity. That word comes up so often, and I've asked them, so what kind of readers are we? Right? There's this word comes up so often. So this is very difficult. The non-devotees, the gyanis and the yogis cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Because automatically then, if one gets absorbed in the service of Krishna, then he doesn't serve the senses. That's the whole idea, to adjust the desires. We have desires, and that's intrinsic to the soul. So we can't stop that. The Mayavadis and Buddhists will say no desires, but that desireless really means no material desire. They have desire to please Krishna, to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to do some kind of service for Krishna, instead of desire to serve the senses. Just changing it around. Using the lust, using the greed, and service of Krishna. Every living being within the material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed, fruitive desire continues. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti service, devotional service, as follows. You'll note that Prabhupada always translates bhakti as devotional service, or loving devotional service. Most translators say divine love, something like that. And that people interpret in many wrong ways. I mean, the money, I believe that. Loving devotional service. Anyabhilashita sunyam janakamadinabhitam anukulyena shilanu shilanam bhaktir uchite. One should render devotional loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed from all material desires which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. He had really big material desire. And what does the name mean? Hiranyakashipu means Kashipu. Kashipu. So he had a gold and a soft bed. And what does a soft bed mean? He wanted the whole universe, he wanted absolute control over everyone. He wanted everyone to be afraid of him. And he got it. He thought he had it. It didn't help him. But that is the ultimate. All material desires culminate in what? Huh? What? Combination of all the material desires. That's why for anything that they're trying to sell, they promote sex, cigarettes, anything. They're showing the beautiful combination of men and women, or just the woman. It's more the woman than anything else. Trying to make it that you're put together. You know, if you get this, you have this thing, you'll get the sex. Everywhere Kali is promoting material desires and all the advertising. always coming up with something new. Like, you know, now every other shop is a mobile phone shop. How many years ago there was no mobile phone? I mean, we thought it would never happen. Ever since I was a child, they were promising that we'd have a phone. Finally, all of a sudden, everybody has every little kid. In Japan, they're making special ones for old people. Bigger buttons, easier to operate, bigger screen. And for children, all kinds of things, and you always have to get another one to get something better. So we should be praying to Lord Nisshinadev. That's how we pray to Him. He's very merciful. And Lord Nisshinadev can prepare the way for us to actually approach God. Some will say you shouldn't worship Lord Nisshinadev. Nisshinadev to help us get free from all the material desires, really. And we have to replace that spiritual desire. So then Prahlad goes on. This is another famous prayer of Prahlad in the 7th canon where he says, I don't want to go back to Godhead and kill everyone. He prayed to Lord Chaitanya that he could take all the simple reactions of everyone in the universe and make it all come back together. And he was called an incarnation of Prahlad. So then Prahlad says, I can't see this instance. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Quite a far out verse. This is how we're supposed to be thinking. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. Prabhupada, many times when he was asked, if people say, how can I control the mind? I said, then thinking of how to teach others to chant Hare Krishna, that's controlling. Very simple. There's one little conversation I don't have right now. But someone asked Prabhupada, I have trouble controlling my mind when I chant. You heard that one? Prabhupada said, what? Prabhupada, I have trouble controlling my mind when I chant. Prabhupada wondered, then he said, oh, what do you mean the mind? You chant with the tongue, you hear with the ear. You need the mind. Well, why are you worried about your mind? Just chant. Very simple. And that's what we're striving for. But when we try to help others, when we have this desire that everyone will be devotees, it's a very exalted desire, but that's the Sankirtan movement. So everybody should be thinking how to talk to at least one person and try to share with them and get them to become devotees. All of you, somebody here gave me that book called about the 12 Christian thing. The cell group thing, like the Bhakti Vriksha. So the ordinary Bhakti Vriksha was based on the cell group. You have a group of maximum 16 people, and one is a leader, and you're trying to train someone else to be a leader so you can make two here. But this one is that you get 12 people, and they're all going to be leaders, and they're all going to go out and get another group of 12, make them all leaders. And that person, he was a minister in the church, and he'd always wanted to have a big, big church. But he found that more people, as many people that were joining were leaving also. And he was so busy trying to get people to come back, and so he quit. And he told God, he prayed, he said, I'm not going to do anything until you're in the environment. And then he became a very successful businessman. Then he got inspired to this idea. So he started with 8 people in his own house. His wife was completely against it, you know, because she thought he was going to be poor now. You know. But it grew. That was in, like, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago. Now he's got like 25 or 35,000 members. And the wife got fired up, and she started 500 women's groups, with, you know, from the, what she first started. So we need to think like that. They get inspired that people really need it, they're going to go to hell. And that's how Prahlad is saying. They're all, you know, they're all crazy. But if they can somehow chant the holy name, that's bhakti yoga. They can just take the sadhana. It's the start. So the devotees are always thinking how to make arrangements. The purport says, this following verse describes a Vaishnava. Everybody knows this one. Together, Vancha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namah. Now, we should think about that. Many temples, everybody recites it real quick. Like the Prasadam prayer, everybody in the world knows the Bengali, but almost nobody knows it. It's what it means in their own language. And say, what does it mean? Oh, I don't know. So we should know. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fill all the desires of everyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Now, that, like, sometimes we come and we have a lot of material desires, you know, I want to get really rich, like 3 children, a doctor, a lawyer, and a priest or something. You know, and they all have to marry, you know, princesses, and I have to have a whatever kind of car you're supposed to have. It doesn't mean you'll get all those things. It means you'll get a better desire than those things will. Those are important. They'll be fulfilled automatically, knowing that they're not important. I don't know. Like my mother, I found she had saved like so many toys I had. You know, a sentimental thing your mother liked. But, you know, something that you were mad after when you're 6 years old, when you're 8 years old, what is that? Right? And when you're 10 years old again, you're going to just keep moving up. So finally we get Krishna and the holy name, and then nothing else looks very important. You know, that you have to put all your energy to get it. You just put all your energy serving Krishna, and then whatever our dharma is, or whatever kind of work we're doing, you know, we want to do it nicely, we want to support, you know, but with Krishna the center. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities. Somebody ran past me yesterday and said, pray for me. And I was going to run back and said, you can pray for yourself. You don't have to wait for someone else. I mean, the Vaishnava is praying for everybody. We should be. Our activities when we're chanting is for everybody, and we're trying to think of everybody. We try to teach everybody. We can chant also. We feel. The gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons, like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. He prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. And where that comes from? That's the first verse. Not the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Para envious persons don't understand. We present it to everyone, but an envious person, they exhibit envy and they don't try to push it on us. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, may all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself from envy, he becomes liberal in his social feeling and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his soul of all envy. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. Does that mean? We sing it every day. Bahir Nrisimha is inside and is outside. He's in the heart, he's everywhere. But Lord Nrisimhadev, sit in the core of our, let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, healing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. When I first joined the temple, devotees talked like that all the time about saving the world. And we tried. You know, everybody was out on time to time. Devotees were going, you know, devotees that were very short time devotees were going to countries all by themselves when there were no devotees. No Indian people to welcome them. And, right? And they started temples. And they got the devotees. And Prabhupada, because they picked up on Prabhupada's mood and this broad-minded, you know, Mahatma mood. Creeping of it, Mahatma, thinking of the welfare of everyone. Of course, simply chanting, it's beneficial for everyone. But we should be thinking, we want this chanting, we want it to simply spread this chanting. We want it. We're praying that this can happen. And it will, it is happening. More and more people are becoming devotees. The movement is in almost every country. Even in some of the really demoniac countries, there are Vishwanathacharya Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure Nishkama devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Ayinandas Samijitinkaram Patita Mam Vishame Badam Badam Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Siti Duli Sadhishen Vishim Pura Vishim Pura. You know that one? You know what that one? Huh? Osana Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I've fallen this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmani Shwade Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoy Patipan. What is that? Causeless devotional service. Place of people. Life after life. He's not even asking for Vaikuntha. Just for pure service, because if one is actually engaged in pure unalloyed service to Krishna, then he doesn't consider, you know, where he is. He's in Vaikuntha. He prays for the benediction, but because it is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in this prayer is Swastyasti Vishwasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is a man like Hiranyakasipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father and son. Hiranyakasipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakasipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. The difficulty is that the envious living entity is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantra or by the action of a particular herb. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. Who is another classic envious person in Mahabharata? Shishupala was really envious. And Duryodhana. He could not tolerate, even they tried to, even Dhritarashtra tried to tell him, what are you worried about? You have more than Yudhisthira, your kingdom is bigger, you have unlimited everything. Why, what do you need more? But he said, I can't stand to see Yudhisthira even have one drop of happiness for Arjuna. Couldn't tolerate it. And, you know, he was completely envious and so unpleasant person. When you see the movie, you see that movie, the guy who played Green on the floor. But, right? He's just always like envious. And we had the drama in Bangkok for the Shingaday. One young girl, a student, she was, she was just, you know, like kissing like a snake the whole time. And she was a good actress, but you know, she just, no matter what she was saying or doing, it. But the snake, one boy told me he had some stick and some special kind of wood. If you put that on the head of the cobra becomes nice. You know, he can control it. And by mantras, the people can control the poisonous snake. But they have to put the top on the basket before they stop the mantra. You can't train the snake. So what you kind of gave that analogy. Don't ever think your mind is okay now. As long as we're chanting and keeping the mind busy in Krishna consciousness, it's all right. But if we think now it's trained and I don't have to worry about it anymore, then it'll be just like a snake. It'll immediately bite you, start filling you with all kinds of envious ideas. And the Kali and the Maya, they promote envy. You know, to make people work harder and want things more. That one television, Oneida in India, I don't know if you have that. Remember all the ads they had for years? Your neighbors will envy you. You know, you will be God. Because envy, ultimately, we're envious of Krishna. You know, he is everything. So we're envious of a rich person, a beautiful person, a famous person, an intelligent person. That's ultimately Krishna. If the Krishna conscious movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious persons will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. So that's the key. And if you think of the welfare of others, then others will think of your welfare. Krishna says to Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, in material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays like that everyone's mind can become example by being fixed up at the lotus feet of Krishna. As indicated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savoy Manat Krishna Padara Vindaya, and is advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakta, Savoy Manat Krishna, but that's Maharaj Ambarish, he always had his mind fixed up on the lotus feet of Krishna. And Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakta, Yaji Nam Maskaru. Now, there's only two slokas that are in the Bhagavad Gita twice. This is one of them. That's very important. Manmana, think of me. Bhavamad become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam Namaskaru, offer obeisance to me. And this way you'll always think of me and you'll be able to come to me. Then one's mind will be cleansed, Chaitadarkana Marjana. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad prays for the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe might be vacated because everyone would go back to Godhead. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living beings is actually delivered by the Krishna conscious movement, another set will fill the entire universe. I remember also when I first joined, the guests used to ask, like, what would happen if everybody, because the devotees talked about it so much, that everyone will become a devotee. That all that was what would happen. You know, they think everything, because they think devotees are only the brahmacharis in the center. So they think, how will people live? Right? Who will run the cigarette factory? All these important things. Well, think about it. Yes, today I walked through that Vivo Mall. Mm-hmm. It must be one of the biggest ones in the world. And practically all I saw there was mobile phone shops and clothes. And you just wonder, like, you know, how can they live? You know, how can they get enough business? All the same things over and over again. Everywhere in the world. But somehow they all do. People are mad. But those people, when they think about, you know, everyone becoming Krishna conscious, they get really worried. Because most of it is totally irrelevant to devotees. And devotees were told that we don't need to have, like, 100,000 trees. So many things that have to happen, especially the women. And then, you know, like the speaker of the haircut, housing in the village. You get one of the biggest business in the world, it's custom. So many things. You know, the so-called beautify your skin, to take off the fat, the spine, all bodily comfort. So they worry, like, you know, and then all the meat business is such a huge business. So they think if everyone was a Hare Krishna, it would be a disaster. And they don't know that Krishna is actually maintaining it. And everyone could do work that was nice. Still, everybody needs to be included in their clothing. But people might have a little more spare time to think about Krishna. It goes on for the far We pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank accounts, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachments, let it be for devotees whose only friend is Krishna. The person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Now, he was a householder. He had children and a wife. And it's a matter of attachment. What if one thinks that this is all in all, the sense gratification, then it's doing it all for Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, he immediately said, Asat Sangha Taga, Vaishnava Chah, give up. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up association with persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also praised the personality of Bhagavad Gita. He may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to materials of their life. He must be attached to someone who prays to be attached to devotees. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for gratification. Of course, as long as one is in the material world, he must have a material body and one must be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very nicely. If one offers me his love and devotion, we leave the fruit of flower. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains this a lot too. So like talking to people at work, you know, that's not like associating. If you go out drinking with them, you know, go to parties with them and talk about all the things that are in that situation, just in the course of your work and everything, to have to deal with non-devotees is not association. But we have to be careful. We want to give them our association. So that's pretty long. So on. So, as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast ocean, conditioned souls naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculation fails to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, but instead becomes attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. Therefore, O demons, give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which are the actual shelter of the fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is the root cause of material attachment, indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear and desire for false prestige, all of which result in repetition of birth and death. So sometimes devotees really took these things too fanatically and said anyone with a household is completely annoying. But that's not what it says. It's talking about if one is a devotee in his house or his temple and offering everything to Krishna, knowing that everything belongs to Krishna. He may be very opulent in the material life. He may be very rich, have a nice family, but the attachment is for Krishna. He knows that Krishna gave it all to him, and he's offering it all to Krishna. Show you what can happen. No matter where you are, if you come, this is, take a guess to where this is. Can you see close enough? This is all garbage. Plastic bags, bottles. Where do you think that is? She got. That's just one of the, you know, Vrindavan. And there's so much sewage, all the sewage is going into the building, which is very expensive. But the wind is getting so know, repentance. What we're doing in this material world, and how to utilize it, how to be conscious of everything going on. Trying to teach the big process, because especially in the village people, for millions of years they've just been throwing everything because it was all leaves and organic things. But they don't know that plastic is good. So India is trying to ban plastic bags. Even Singapore government is trying to reduce it because it's clogging up all the waterways. Fish or birds swallow different eyes, all kinds of things. So we have to elevate the consciousness and really help people in every way. Everywhere, even the big parts. Help. Now they're even selling their world off. Forgetting Krishna. And so, but this, all that is stressed out throughout the Bhagavatam, the same mood. You know, if we're trying to think of the welfare of others, then that's where we're going to be really happy. That's Radha Gopinath Temple, Ramana Swami told that. When he was established, the place he'd been previously, all the priorities were for who could collect the most money and who could build the biggest building. There wasn't much concern for the individual devotees. If they were in Maya and they couldn't collect a lot of money, then they'd get rid of them. But, so he said he set the priorities completely opposite. If people-oriented everything for the, you know, the Vaishnava Seva, and of course sadhana. Good sadhana and Vaishnava Seva, caring for the devotees, being compassionate. So the result is very wonderful. And that's, we need to all do pick up on that. Take care, because so many people in the world, and you know, we want them all to somehow come in contact with Krishna. So we, all of you are highly qualified. You should all think about how you can be leaders, how you can start more programs in cooperation with everyone else. You know, we need, it's a big country, big place, Singapore, so we need meetings all over the place, and we need different kinds of people get together. Things in common, whether it's age or ashram, or, you know, there's all kinds of people looking for Krishna. They don't know it, but they're looking for happiness. They're rushing into all these shopping centers. Or, you know, it's just like, what? They're asking for the school. Rushing. They don't even know what they want. By the time they go through there, I've gone into some of those places with somebody that has a small child. And the child inside will be, and then when they get in the car, they start screaming. Because then it all starts to rattle around in their mind, all the things they wanted, they get so bewildered, you know. And the adults, their minds are screaming also, but they may keep quiet, but it just, you know, like I've gone in sometimes, I want to get some simple thing and I forget what I went in there for. You know, can I help you? I don't know what I'm doing. And then finally get something you don't even need. People, Padre Govinda said people are working so hard to buy things they don't need, with money they don't have. You know, to impress someone who doesn't care. That's a fact. He sent that to the joke. You know, we dress up, but who cares? Maybe someone will be envious of you, you know. If you get a big car or something, if you look really rich, then people will be envious. And then, but to have people being envious of you, that's not so nice. Depending on what country you're in, they might kill you. They might at least steal your car. Some schools in America, they started the uniform thing. And the parents were happy because, you know, previously their kids were competing so much. one kid has the whatever the fashion jacket and shoes, but not everybody can afford them. When the newest Nike shoe comes out, it costs $150. You know? So some kids get it right away, and then the other kids want it, and even they've been killed. They give you those shoes in a way and they so they were happy. In Japan, previously they all had uniforms, but that's not good for business. So now they don't have uniforms. Now they have competition, everybody has fashion. Starting from very early age, from even, 10 years old, the welfare, the highest welfare work is what? This giving the Krishna Katha, Tavakatamritam, this nectar of Katha to the conditioned souls who are burning up, Tapta Jivana, they're burning up. This is all auspicious, and the great souls are doing that. And Bhuri Dinantiye, Bhuri Dajanaha, those who are giving this Krishna Katha to others, they are the most magnanimous. They are the most magnificent. The Lord Chaitanya like that, the Gopis, that's the first by the Gopis, the Gopi Gita. And then that's Maharaj Kshatrapa Rudra. And he was massaging the legs of the Lord when the Lord was apparently sleeping. And he was reciting that Gopi Gita. When he got to that verse, Lord Chaitanya jumped up and he grabbed him and pulled him up and embraced him and started dancing and said, "You are the most, you are Buddha, you are Buddha. You go on chanting, go on chanting." He liked that. So this is the whole, if the more we read Bhagavatam, we'll find this word fruitive. Not desirable, just be trying to enjoy. But they advertise everywhere, enjoy. Just enjoy, that's the whole goal of life. Taste is everything. Mm-hmm. So many restaurants, so many things promising how you can enjoy. People are, Maya's gotten so clever. When I came in the airport there in Bali, the duty-free shores, you know, with the liquor is always the first thing. And they were selling this Johnny Walker Super something, $240 US for one bottle, not even a liter. But it had a really nice label. And it had two boxes. One box inside of another box, very first class box. Probably inside had velvet or something. So when you give that to someone, they'll know that you spent a lot of money on it. But who could tell the difference between that whiskey and the cheapest whiskey you can get, you know, 7-Eleven? Or in Thailand, they have imitation of all that stuff. But no one can tell the difference from the taste. Especially after you've taken one taste. Then you can't tell, but they think it's better. As long as they can see that bottle and see the price tag, they'll think this is so much better. When they buy the designer clothes, I was doing book distribution in London and one street there called Self Molten. It's a very rich shop. And they had a dress that was 1,500 pounds. And, you know, pants, 600 pounds. And one guy that was friendly, he worked there, he was a carpenter, he said, yeah, you know, Paul McCartney will come through with his wife. Then we were walking back to temple and on the back street, and they had the Salvation Army. You know, the Salvation Army. And their shop, everything was 5 pounds. It looked the same to me. You know. Some of it probably look even better. And some rich people buy the even more expensive But they still look ugly in their swimming pool. Someone else buys the 5-pound one and they look good. They are beautiful. So it's a crazy world, but we have the most valuable thing that the Maha Mantra, the holy name. And we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the most valuable thing. And if we just keep imbibing, keep reading it, keep chanting, and the more we try to give it to others, not everyone will take, but almost anyone, if you give them a, like I usually give the taxi driver a mantra card, they'll chant. I met a guy on the plane when I was going to Africa, and usually no one talks to me. This guy was telling me about his whole life, like right away, he was talking to me. This guy helped me put my bag up. And then when I was getting off, he was again very friendly. And he said in 1974, he met a devotee in Africa, and the devotee gave him a mantra card. He still has it. He said, I say that prayer whenever I feel. I told them you don't have to do it, you can say it anytime. You don't have to wait till the things go wrong. Because everything is going wrong at every moment. Right? You don't have to wait for like a really perceivable disaster. But that's the power of the mantra. That, you know, you talk to a devotee for a short time, you've got a mantra. There's millions of people like that all the time. People are all looking for Krishna. So, you know, pray to Prahlad Maharaj, pray to Lord Nityananda. We're spreading very nicely here in Singapore. We need more and more effort by all kinds of people. Young people go after more young people. Even the children. The Christians have children, but the Richard group, they just set them up and leave them all by themselves. The 8-year-old kid, they lead the whole group. They just come in and check on them every once in a while. Then they get fired up to bring more people in. The children are the future, and they're very important, and they can preach. They're very powerful people. And the happy family is also like practically our most powerful people, because everyone is looking for that. So much dysfunctional family. Academy Award winning movie a few years ago called The American Dream or something. That was about a dysfunctional family, a typical family. There's so much divorce, there's so much children with not both parents. So when people see happy families, they're impressed. The Mormons, that's what they mainly talk about. Family. The importance of the family and how to, you know, make the family strong. And they get a lot of people. That's, you know, that in human society, that grihastha is the biggest kasha, almost everything. It's either in the family at one level or another, they're in the family. Most everybody, right? And then everybody is, that, you know, they're either married or they're going to get married. So if we have a happy family centered around Krishna, happily working in their dharma, then that attracts people. And everyone is meant to be a preacher. Everyone is meant to preach. Everyone is meant to be a guru. Everyone is meant to surrender, fully get initiated, find a guru. No one else can really tell you who your guru should be. Devotees all over the world, they find their own way. Sometimes they just, because they heard somebody on the internet. You know, I met some devotees from Scotland, and they hadn't been out of Scotland. One is aspiring to get initiated by Indrabhumi Swami, the other one by someone else. I said, well, how did you meet him? Well, you know, we've got their lectures on the internet, and we read their things, and they start writing to them. You know, Krishna arranges everything. Every guru is teaching the same thing, but still there's some relationship, some, you know, object or something. How we can connect, we make association with devotees of similar interests, and then we all work together. together, they bring more and more in. Because the whole world is going to hell. They're rushing, you know, just to go shopping. Zooming everywhere, right? If you go to this park, it's such a beautiful park. There's a few people there, even on Sunday. If you go to Bugis, you know, Mustafa or something. I went to the Mustafa at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. I couldn't even move. And the bodies were there also buying all kinds of things. Frozen things. Frozen buffalo paneer. From India. Paneer is so easy to make. It's quicker to make it than to thaw it out. Right? Who's fine? Paneer is easy to make. Boil the milk and put some lemon juice in it. Then if you want to make it hard, you got to do a little more. Quite simple. But this is how, you know, Kali is working. Everybody is rushing. Every time I go in a supermarket, it's just bewildering the things people buy. You know, half will be toilet paper and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. Hardly any food. UHT milk, you know, they don't know. Everything ready-made, chips, everything in a bag and cooked in a factory, maybe in another country, imported, right? Ancient, dried-up things. But they don't know because that's what's on television. That's what advertises. So we need to think how to advertise Krishna. You know, there's many ways to do that. Basically, in this country, we have to do it just by one on one. And that's the most effective means anyway. It would be nice to have big signboards. You know, the Big Brother would be good. Advertise all those nice things. And then that would be good. Yeah. And Kirtan, everyone here loves Kirtan, so. You all live probably a few people in the house. You should have kirtan every day, at least a few minutes. This is in China, one of Bodhi's house. He had more pictures of Krishna than I've ever seen anyone. He had this huge poster, and he had one of Lord Nrsingadeva's thing. He had one room just for Lord Nrsingadeva. He had Lord Nrsingadeva's beauty, pictures of Nrsingadeva all over. Another room for Varnitai. And he's a young guy, and he's bringing all his young friends. They're all entrepreneurs. They all have some. Every young guy in China has a factory. And they're all chanting 16 rounds, and they love kirtan. From where? Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Yeah, how can I serve you? What? I'm leaving Friday night. Friday night at midnight. 12:15. Wow. Wow, thank you very much. That's amazing. Wow, this is, now I'm starting to believe in God. Okay, I'll get hold of him. I have a few days, no problem. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay, that will really help. How do you go? This was in Bali. We do Harinam on the beach. And the beach is really crowded. There's thousands of surfers. The ocean is full from early morning until dark. out there and search some more people. And these guys just, we were walking down the beach, they were dancing and chanting with us for like 10 minutes. So now every time they go surfing, they don't want to fish. This Friday they're going with Lokanath Swami, so that'll probably be on that fire. On the big day, this was a little bit small when we had maybe 60 or 70 devotees. On the big day, because it was the Rath Yatra, was the day before and everybody was wiped out. But on the big day, we get like 150 devotees. And people love it. People don't know. And there, it wasn't too long ago, they thought it was illegal to be a devotee. Now there's thousands of them. And the government says, we love it when you come on the beach. Just tell us before you come. Okay, thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, I'm